15. Yeah, justice. In the jungle, every inch of earth is alive. The tree's corrugated bark teems with insects. The air swarms with microscopic creatures. The soil, oh, the soil is as rich with life as a womb. It is eager and foaming. In the shadow of a great cliff within the life of the jungle, Ellen Bywater cowered. Clamped to the rock like a barnacle, molded into its curved and flat places, hiding like any other creature. Ellen said, "I don't want to die." Will said, "No one does, honey bunch." Above her on the clifftop, Lenk Skettlish searched. The suit said, "What do you need her for, Lenk?" Lenk said, "Never you mind." The suit said, "I can't help you with this any longer." Lenk said, "You got me far enough." He wondered if the suit would freeze him in place or send out a distress call or alert Zhen or warn Ellen, but he thought, no fantail phone in the world has ever refused to make a phone call luring someone to their death. No fantail tablet has refused to locate a gun store. No fantail search has refused to turn up information on how to kill someone in 70 different ways. We could have made technology like that, but we thought it was better not to get involved. Improve market share. Leave it to the invisible hand of buying and selling to sort things out in the fullness of many days. Martha wouldn't have made a suit that would stop him from taking legitimate steps to protect himself. The suit said, "I can't recommend what you're doing." Still, the suit's heat sensors showed him Ellen, tucked up tight against the cliff face, bug in a rug. Still, the suit's servo motors helped him analyze the rock formations. God bless America and freedom of choice. In the jungle, every square inch of earth is alive, and every death is the beginning of other lives. A bear or a beetle. Nothing is too large or too small to make food for something else. Lenk looked down on Ellen like the Lord God looked down on the city of Sodom. He placed the mining charges from his underground caves into the fault in the rock. He set his blowtorch flaming and tossed it in after the charges. The noise was bone-crunchingly loud. Sheets of rock face at the edge of the precipice sheared off one by one, pointed and sharp, piercing. One by one, they hammered down on the same spot precisely. Four sheets of rock, five, six, seven, smashing down after each explosive percussion, a crash that sent your teeth vibrating and the earth shaking. Even when the last sheet had fallen, the jungle echoed the sound back in the chattering of monkeys and the whir of wings. Lenk said to the suit, "Can I climb down?" The suit said, "The rock face is unstable, as are the shards below." Lenk said, "I want to go another way." The suit said, "The way is too dangerous." He sat on his haunches at the edge of the cliff, peeled off the head and torso, and pulled his arms out of the gloves and sleeves so that the suit was underneath him, like the flayed skin of a metal corpse. He touched the rocks, unarguable beneath his fingertips. Lenk said, "What if I make you take me?" The suit said, "You can only make me do certain things, Lenk." He thought of Martha, what she approved and disapproved of. The adrenaline was passing through his body now. Metabolic breakdown was turning it to inactive and docile substances in his bloodstream. He was beginning to tremble. "Zhen," he said. "Suit, can I talk to Zhen?" "I'm sorry," said the suit, "but Zhen is gone."